Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, let's talk big picture for the markets today. And we're starting off this week with a little bit more of a risk-off trade, or you could even call it a almost COVID trade, as we are seeing some of the safer assets move higher. Like gold, that's back above 1850. That's up about 1.5% today. In terms of the U.S. equity markets, the S&P and Dow are down, not huge, but they are down. And the NASDAQ is actually up almost 0.5% for today. So again, it's that move into tech and some of those stay-at-home names. Even treasuries yields are moving down as bonds are garnering a buy today. Ed, what do you think is turning everybody, at least at the start of this week, to be a bit more defensive with their money?
Yeah, defensive is the key word. I think right now we have growing concerns. I mean, we've been talking about Brexit for quite some time now, but this is a pivotal moment for Brexit. You know, trade talks need to have some type of deal realized. Otherwise, no deal Brexit could actually unfold at the end of the year. And then also, too, what you're starting to see is in the U.S., the virus situation is sadly raging on, and we're seeing that Thanksgiving surge drive new cases to key highs that we're everyone is expecting that further restrictive measures are going to come down the road. They're already preparing New York City that indoor dining could get shut. And I think we had some strong warnings from Anthony Fauci. He spoke alongside Governor Cuomo from New York and just highlighting that the middle of January, it could be a real dark time for us. And I think you're going to see that with that in mind, you shouldn't greatly anticipate more lockdowns, more restrictive measures. And wrapping up the risks, this is a big week for the U.S. We have two fiscal cliffs coming up. The government is running out of funding, and then also we need a spending bill. Both are handled separately, and I think that as far as funding the government, that's something that you could see a Band-Aid solution put in, just put the onus on the Biden administration. But the spending bill is a little bit different. I think there's a good agreement on getting that passed through, but President Trump is likely to kind of not let that one pass because President Trump wants some of these measures that have been protecting the Twitters and Facebooks to get taken out. So I think you're going to see that there's going to be great uncertainty as far as, what will the U.S. be able to get passed through. And everyone is still expecting some virus relief to get, ironed out, and that, hopefully we could get an update later today. So there's all these big uncertainties persisting in the markets. And I think that's why you're probably seeing stocks are, at least the S&P and Dow are softer. And, the safe haven trade for tech is kind of boosting the NASDAQ to fresh record highs. So I think, we're going to see everyone be on stimulus watch, Brexit watch. And as these risks get taken off, I think that there's a growing concern that, vaccine implementation might not be as easy as initially thought. So I think there's just a little downbeat assessment of December. I think you're going to probably see a lot of investors become a little bit more cautious going into year end. And that's why I think we're seeing some of the moves this morning.
So, Ed, let's take these one by one here. We start off with the COVID cases. We've seen rising COVID cases. This is not necessarily a new story over the last couple months, but the market seemed to be able to ignore all of this because of vaccine news. And quite frankly, I didn't see anything negative on the vaccine front in terms of this actual rollout. I assume there's going to be many problems with a rollout of the vaccine, but quite frankly, the markets have been ignoring it. So why now are they paying more attention to COVID cases?
Well, this third wave, I think we have to take a look at what was happening before we got to Thanksgiving. Everything was starting to trend in the right direction. New cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. And what we're seeing now is that, Thanksgiving did produce, an uptick here. And the health experts are now concerned that the Christmas holiday season and Hanukkah is going to possibly provide a greater surge than what we saw on Thanksgiving. So I think the expectations are likely that, you know, this, you know, next week is going to reflect what happened in Thanksgiving. And then we're already at the Christmas time where you're going to probably see an even worse spike. So I think that means January is going to be very, very difficult. You're going to probably see ICU capacity be reached in many states. And that's going to just, you know, cement that there has to be greater restrictive measures in place. And that's why you're probably seeing some of that, you know, vaccine-led optimism faded. Also, what has been kind of been a little bit difficult to navigate is, you know, the supply distribution for these vaccines. The HHS noted that a lot of these states were using old data in calculating their distribution plans. So it looks like there's not good communication with the with these incremental updates on vaccines and plans to vaccinate the population. And while there's strong optimism that, you know, immunizations are going to start, there's still a good significant amount of the population in the U.S. And also especially in France that is skeptical of taking vaccines. I think in France, you had almost, it was around 40% skepticism in taking the vaccine. In the U.S., it's probably closer to a third. And I think that is likely to really derail some of that herd immunity that is already priced in for later this year or next year. So there's too much virus uncertainty in place. And it looks like, I think there was a lot more optimism that we were going to see a limited spike on Thanksgiving. And right now, I think that you're probably seeing investors just be extremely cautious here because, you know, we've had, you know, stocks continue to push towards record highs. And I think that right now, it's hard to be optimistic about that first quarter. And I think that you're probably going to see that there's going to be a continued focus on that COVID trade, you know, which is good for the stay-at-home stocks, but not necessarily for the cyclical rotation trade that has, you know, been unfolding over these last few weeks.
Yeah, one thing to consider is that trade has unfolded quite quickly and quite aggressively too, right? So maybe this is just a little breather. And when you consider just how bullish sentiment is, the market does need a bit of a breather and a bit of a pullback in these extreme sentiment levels that are now the highest since early 2000, which is crazy to think about. Let's also talk about the two fiscal cliffs that you mentioned for the U.S., the funding bill and also the spending bill. So actually moving the government or having the funds to keep the government running. We've heard this, I can't even tell you how many times now, but it seems to always get passed and we seem to always move on from it. And the spending bill, the government's been fighting over a spending bill for months now. So how do you see these playing out? And do you see them carrying a long lasting impact on the market outside of maybe just a couple days or at most just this week?
I think it could have an impact over the next couple of days, but as you pointed out, I think there is a strong likelihood that you'll see that if a complete bill can't be negotiated to take care of the spending and stimulus all in one, you'll probably see the Trump administration gladly just have a stopgap solution in place that just allows the burden to fall on Biden when he takes over in January. So you're probably going to see a 3-month temporary solution in place that alleviates that government spending concern. With regard to the stimulus relief, it seems that the expectations are pretty high. I think that is not the consensus view on Wall Street. I think there is still a lot of people that are skeptical that anything will get done. But I think that Republicans really, their main goal right now is to secure the Senate. And what we've seen over these last several months is that Georgia, which controls, you know, the focus, I think, until January 5th with their two Senate runoff races, has been seeing a strong increase in joblessness. And I think you're having that. Georgia has really done a lot of, I think they've suffered a lot of pain over these last few weeks. And what we're seeing is that Georgia is one of the states most hit hardest by COVID in November. And what you're probably going to see is that the motivation for the Democratic voters has been pretty strong. There's been strong mail-in voting that has taken place for these Senate runoff races, and Republicans, if they lose both seats, they're gonna really lose control of the Senate, because it'll be 50-50 and Vice President Harris would be the tie-breaking vote. And that would really give the Biden administration a clean slate to do whatever he wants as far as taxes, regulation, and infrastructure initiatives that would, you know, target his agenda. So you're probably going to see Republicans be quick, I think, in finding out an agreement to provide some type of short-term stimulus relief, because they can't jeopardize that Senate race. And if you have Georgia very upset with the way things are unfolding for their state, I think that's going to be the key driver. And Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, is expected to deliver another version of a stimulus bill, which is going to be an increase from his $500 billion that he has been touting over the last week. So I think he's going to have a comparable proposal to the bipartisan one that was unveiled last week. And I think you're going to see that Republicans don't want to deliver state and local government aid. And I think they're probably going to have to capitulate a little bit on that, but it's definitely worth the doing so, because I think then you'll really take away a lot of that motivation in what's going to drive the Democratic voter for these Georgia Senate runoff races. So I think there's a strong likelihood you'll get some type of $900 billion stimulus bill within these next couple of weeks. And that's going to be good enough to drive the stimulus trade for gold, and probably provide some type of a safety net here for U.S. stocks, as it's going to deliver unemployment benefits for many millions of Americans. And I think that's kind of where we stand right now on these key critical negotiations coming up.
So still just waiting for the government to get some spending bill through, and then seeing what the market reaction will be. But it should be, yes, more towards some of these assets that were performing quite well but have taken a little breather. Ed, let's also look over to Europe, because there are a couple key things going on in Europe this week. We have an ECB meeting, and we also have Brexit negotiations, which should be, well, we'll see if we get some sort of agreement or some sort of more solid path towards Brexit actually happening. How important do you think these are to markets, and what are you focusing on for these two aspects?
I'll take Brexit first, because I think that's the more interesting one. Right now, I think whenever you have negotiations between the EU and UK, it always goes down to the wire. So right now we're starting to get all that nervousness. The UK earlier this morning warned that it seems that you know, these talks are on the verge of collapse, and this is what's needed. I think it's painful, and for people in the UK, because you do not want to see a no deal Brexit, but these negotiations always go down to the wire, and I think that you're probably going to see that there's still strong hope that some type of trade deal will be reached. They've made progress along the way. I think that you're going to see that financial markets are still pricing in some type of trade deal to get done. But why we're seeing some weakness right now in cable, I think a lot of that has to do with you know, adding protection. You have all these short-term hedges coming into place, because you can't risk yourself being exposed to a possible no-deal Brexit here. So I think you're going to start to see that people are, you know, concerned because, you know, if they don't have a breakthrough on that longstanding disagreement over fishing, you know, that could be the thing that really makes this go sour. And I think that overall, there's still strong hope that a Brexit deal will get done, but it will go down to the wire. And right now, they have a tentative, an artificial deadline of Wednesday, but really, they could stretch it, I think, till the end of the week. So we could see this drag on a little bit longer. And the longer we wait, the more nervous you'll see cable traders get. And I think that's why we're probably going to see some short-term pressure here for the British pound. But in the end, I think everyone is a little bit optimistic that, you know, 2021 should be a great transition for the UK economy. They're one of the early countries to adopt vaccines. They're hopefully going to have a lot of this Brexit in the back rearview window, and I think you're going to see that's going to be the main driver for economic growth for the UK. And you're going to see, you know, the financial community really has abandoned the investment into the FTSE and their export-driven companies, and I think you're going to see that it's going to become one of the favorite trades next year. It just you have two massive risk events that have been percolating for quite some time for the UK, and until those are taken off, I think you're going to start to slowly see investors become very bullish on the UK. And lastly, with the ECB, I think there's just strong. It's been priced in. There's been you know, the expectations have been priced in that the ECB will likely expand their bond buying purchase program from 6 to 12 months, and they possibly could boost it. It's heavily priced in. There's strong optimism that the ECB is going to do their part. They're not going to cut rates. They're just going to provide a little bit more assistance, and more aid in the short term, and that should be supportive for the Eurozone. But I think the ECB it's going to be a big meeting. So the hopes are high that they're going to do more. It's heavily priced in. So as long as there's no disappointment, you should still see that be very positive for the Eurozone and the growth outlook for them.
Okay. Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for taking care of at least some of the risk factors and news events that are on traders' minds this week. But again, I don't think take anything too drastic away from just the moves today because, well, the markets have been so extended and everyone's been moving to risk on that they do need a little breather. We'll see how long that breather lasts this week, potentially. Well, we'll see. Ed, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Oanda website where everyone can read over your daily note. Thanks for your time today, Ed. Have a great week.
Thanks, Corey. You too.